Well, if you have been in attendance this last number of weeks, you will know that we are running through the prayer course. So it's a series that has been pulled together and made available to churches by a group called 24/7 Prayer. And the feedback that I've been getting from those who have given it so far, and to your credit, you tend to give me positive feedback as opposed to the negative stuff. So lots of you may not be enjoying this course. You're just not telling me, but those who are telling me are saying good things about it. So my assumption is, well, everybody's enjoying it. I know that that's presumptuous on my behalf, but hey-ho, I'll have to learn to get through that there. But we have been running through the prayer course, and really what the prayer course is it's a study on the Lord's Prayer. It's a study on the response that Jesus made when his disciples asked him, Lord, will you teach us to pray? And of course, we've been sitting in that prayer now for the last couple of weeks, an introduction to the course. Then last week, we were thinking through, well, how the prayer initially takes us to a place where we engage in adoration to our God and Father. And I think it gives us a few hints and tips as to how we might practically do that in our own prayer times. During the week, as I was sitting in my living room before going out to work in the morning, I have a routine, probably like lots of you guys. I get up, I get myself washed and dressed and whatnot, get myself downstairs, and the first thing that I do once I get downstairs is put a pot of coffee on. Probably like half the country, we need a good dose of caffeine to get us up, and not just up, but to get our brains unfrazzled, yeah, and plugged in for the day. And I like the type of coffee, you know, the stuff that you can almost bite it. It needs to be strong in order to get my brain and my mind switched on. But I do that there, and I get my coffee, and I sit down in my living room. It's nice and quiet in our house, and I just take the time to pray. And as I was sitting in the living room during the week, and my thoughts, probably like, and hopefully like a lot of your thoughts, focusing on the Lord's Prayer, using the Lord's Prayer to set me up for the day, I had one of those flashbacks, those reminders. Now, I don't know if it was just my mind attaching on to a memory in my youth, or whether it was the Lord directing me towards something, but I was reminded of a habit of mine when I was a child, a very, very young child. When I would be sent to bed, I would give myself a little task, which was to say the Lord's Prayer 10 times before falling asleep. So I would lie there and I would say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come. And then I would do it again. I don't think I very often got to 10 before I fell asleep, but it was a memory that I had let go of and was reminded of it, that that's what I used to do for at least a season in my life as a child. I would just recite the Lord's Prayer as quickly as possible. When I did get to 10, I felt, oh, I'm safe now for the night. I can go to sleep. And it was quite a profound moment for me when that reminder was, it felt like a gift. It felt like a gift. Last week and going into last week felt like a really important week for myself personally. As you know, it was my induction service last Sunday. A big thank you for all of you who come out to that. But I went into that week, I don't know if I carried the emotion from the service, but there was something going on inside of me. And as I was praying before getting up to face the day, and that memory come to mind, and I think that it was perhaps compounded by the fact that today is my birthday, and I turned 39 today as well. So you don't need to clap. I've done nothing to get to 39. Other than survive. Loads of you have done it. You've got even more years than me, so you're great. But obviously something was in the air, and I was moved to tears by the recollection of me as a child lying in bed, whizzing through the Lord's Prayer. And I felt the Lord say to me, I heard those prayers. You've forgot those prayers. But I heard them. And not only did I hear them, but I answered them. And I refer to the memory of them even now. And the thought that I've carried with me from that, well, a number of thoughts and feelings, emotion and gratitude, that actually there's nothing that takes place in our lives that doesn't fall under the watchful eye of our Creator. The most insignificant things, perhaps, that nobody else knows about, those things don't go unmissed by our Creator. But in specific relation to prayer, what I was reminded of was that our prayers are impactful. Our prayers are important because of the one who hears them. That's what gives them power and potency and meaning, because somebody hears them. If they are powerful, it's not because we know all the hints and tips and tricks of prayer that can somehow manipulate God to move. That's not the way prayer works. When we pray, we enter into a relational connection with a good Father and creation who is moved by them. In the same way that you might have a young child, and that young child makes their requests known to you. The power is not in the request, is it? The power is in the one who hears the request and responds to it. Dad, I'm hungry. There you go. Mom, what else do children want? I've just had a brain freeze. Mom, I want to, help me, drink. There you go. Do you get what I'm saying? And I felt the weight of that for us. Our prayers are important because of the one who hears them. And it's not based on how good you are at praying, as if somehow you reach a level of technical proficiency in prayer, and then the Lord hears. It's absurd, isn't it, to think that way? That somehow we reach a level of technical maturity or sophistication in prayer, and then that gets the Lord's attention. But that's not to say that we can't grow in maturity in prayer. And I hope that you've been plugging in to the course that's been teaching us that the Lord's Prayer is actually a collection of prayers. We actually can grow in maturity in prayer. There are different ways to pray in relation to different seasons, to different challenges in life. But all of that is built on that opening two words of the prayer. What are the opening two words? Our Father. Everything follows those two opening lines. Our Father. And that's what gives it its power and its potency, because it's linked to the relationship that we have with our good God and Father. But when I was thinking about the memory of myself as a child, reciting the Lord's Prayer, not really giving it much thought or understanding too much of what the prayer was about, another thought entered my mind. And I guess that it's this. Even the most elemental and basic of prayers, even the stuff that sometimes we find very, very difficult to articulate and put into words, comes to the ears and comes before the vision of our Father. When I was a child, whizzing through the Lord's Prayer 10 times, I mean, there was little thought in that, but it moved God. And he stored up the memory of it. And I say that for two things. The first thing is to just give you some comfort and consolation that your prayers, no matter perhaps how weak or limp you feel that they are, they matter to God. But taking it from this point on, and if this prayer course just motivates us and encourages us just to take the next step in our prayer lives, perhaps if it just encourages us to just start even just praying the Lord's Prayer once a day, that's a step in the right direction, and that's a step that is worth taking. Even if you feel that it's a little bit immature, even if you feel it's a little bit like going around the rituals, it's worth doing it. it's worth doing it. And of course, today, well, we are going to be looking at petition. We're going to watch the video again. And Pete, Greg, and Poppy, the interviewer, are going to unpack what petition is. But petition essentially is asking God to meet your own needs. It's the most elemental of prayers, isn't it? The one that perhaps comes to our minds and we can articulate most easily. Help. Help me, Lord. Help me with fill in the blanks. And so we're going to run the video, and they're going to give us a little bit of input around how we build petition into our own prayer lives and how we might start to, again, petition God and understand why Jesus teaches us to do that. So that being said, we'll run the video. Thanks, guys.
Third session of the prayer course. And today we're going to be talking about petitionary prayer. Last time we talked about adoration, and we also kind of talked about that struggle that we have sometimes where we feel like when we pray, we're just bringing God our wish list.
Right. Well, that is what we're looking at today. Because the most basic, instinctive form of prayer is just asking God for stuff or for help.
Right.
Sometimes people say to me, though, why do we need to do that? Why do we need to ask God for stuff and tell God stuff when he's God? So he knows it all already, and presumably if he's loving, he's just going to do whatever is necessary. And I've always loved that story of blind Bartimaeus in the Bible. And do you remember Jesus is passing through Jericho? He cries out, have mercy on me. He gets his way through the crowd. He gets to Jesus. And Jesus looks at him and says, so what do you want me to do for you? Like, the entire crowd is going, duh, he's blind,
on,
Bartimaeus.
Jesus.
And Bartimaeus says, I want to see. And Jesus goes, oh, like he didn't know. Oh, okay, heals him. What's going on there? Why does Jesus do that? I think what's going on is that although God knows our need, he does still want us to articulate it to him. And that's what we do in petitionary prayer.
And I guess the amazing thing, right, about that prayer is that it works, right? In the end, he's able to see. I think it's easier for us to believe that when we pray, that can have an impact on things that maybe are happening inside of us, like in our hearts. But it's harder to believe that our prayers can have an impact on what happens kind of like out here. Like, do you think we can still expect things like that to happen today?
I do, definitely. In the words of the soul band Hot Chocolate, I believe in miracles. Before they continue less helpfully, since you came along, you sexy thing. But I do believe that God changes things when we pray. There's stuff that happens when we pray that wouldn't if we didn't. And survey after survey shows that not only most people in our culture pray, but most people believe in the power of prayer. Mm. And over the last 20 or more years of 24/7 prayer, we have seen incredible answers to prayer. My email inbox is amazing because people are praying all the time, and so we're always experiencing miracles. And if you talk to any group of Christians anywhere in the world, they will all have their own stories of how God answered their prayers, personal testimonies. And that's in line with what Jesus promised. He said, if you ask anything in my name, it'll be done for you. Mm.
What does that phrase, like, in the name of Jesus, what does that actually mean?
Right. So to pray in the name of Jesus means to pray in line with his character and his purpose. So he's not promising here to do stuff that contradicts his character or contravenes his purposes. But when we use our wills to say yes to God's will, miracles occur. It's like I've got some friends called Robbie and Holly. And they went off on honeymoon, and it was just a disaster. They arrived at the airport. There wasn't a shuttle to their hotel. The hotel was on the other side of the island. They spent all their savings on getting a taxi to the hotel. I mean, it's not the dream start.
Not at all.
They've been wanting. And so they tried complaining to the manager of the hotel. And he was just frankly rude. But then Robbie's mum, who is a force of nature, heard what was going on. And she used LinkedIn to find out the owner of the holiday company.
Wow.
So the boss of the boss of the boss.
Yeah.
And emailed him. And within 24 hours, Robbie and Holly had a complete refund.
Nice.
And it's the power of going to the top. And really, that's what praying in the name of Jesus is. We are going to the Father. We're going to God Almighty with Jesus. And so that's the most powerful way to pray. Let's look, shall we, at what Jesus himself says about prayer in Matthew chapter 7, because this really is all about petition. Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. To him who knocks, the door will be opened. And I'm told that the Greek here is the continuous present tense. So that means literally it's like ask and keep on asking and you'll get. Seek, keep on seeking, you'll find. Knock and keep on knocking. And the door will be opened. So this is Jesus saying that, you know, we've got to persevere. And we're going to look at that more in a little bit. Let's keep reading. Verse 9. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So Jesus is telling us here explicitly that the Father loves to give good gifts to his kids and that we should ask. As simple as that.
So this makes me think of my dad, right? Because when I was a kid, my dad would take me to buy Barbie clothes because that's what I loved and he loved me and he just wanted to bless me.
Exactly. Maybe it really is a bit simpler than we sometimes make it. I think Jesus is just saying, look, God is your Father in heaven. He loves you. You're his kids. He wants to bless you. Ask him for the stuff that you want as well as the stuff that you need. And this is really important because it actually gets right to the heart of Jesus' message. See, the start of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Jesus was really taking a pre-existing prayer that was around at that time in rabbinic circles called the Kaddish. And it's pretty much word for word this prayer they would have been familiar with. But then he adds on this distinctive bit with this line, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our sins. And so the distinctive voice of Jesus is personal and it's relational. He's saying the Father wants to help you with your problems. He wants to forgive you your sins. He wants to provide you with your daily bread. So, yes, it's completely right to ask God, not just for our necessities, but sometimes for our luxuries. Just don't expect God to always provide them. This is daily bread we're asking for, and you can't necessarily expect Nutella on it every time.
Okay, I get that. But I think there's going to be some people that are watching this who have some serious prayer requests, right? This isn't all about Barbie dolls or Barbie clothes. I think there's going to be people as well that are kind of sitting in this place of heartbreak because their prayers haven't been answered. There are times when it just feels like the way that God answers prayer is kind of arbitrary, right? Like he answers some prayers, he doesn't answer some, and the ones that are unanswered are ones that really matter to us.
Yeah, that is such an important question. And in fact, it's so important that we dedicate a whole session to thinking about unanswered prayer. But let's just think initially about it now, because this is really personal for all of us. For me, many people will know that my wife, Sammy, has been incredibly sick. She still struggles with a chronic illness. And so it's not cheap. It's not easy to say, oh, well, you know, God's your Father and he'll just do anything you pray. I wrestle with this myself. And one of the ways I often think about it is the old metaphor of a traffic light. Sometimes when we pray, we just get a green light. It's a yes, it's a miracle very quickly. Sometimes we all know that it can be an amber light. It's like God saying, wait and persevere. It's one of these. And then sometimes it is a red light. And for reasons we don't always understand, God seems to be saying no. And that can be agonizingly painful. And there's loads of things I'd love to say at this point, but the one thing I think I need to say right now, for people watching this who maybe feel like they've hit a red light, a no from God with something they're praying about, a health issue or guidance in some area or financial problems, these are the times that you really need to hold on to God's love. It's more important than ever before. Don't give up on God's love. Don't doubt God's love when your prayers aren't working. One of the stories I tell in the book is about when Sammy, my wife, was particularly sick, and I'd become primary carer for our two very little boys. One was really just a baby. And I was struggling. I was finding life incredibly difficult. And then, on top of everything else, Danny got chicken pox. So he's covered, his little baby body's covered in those itchy pink spots. And he wasn't sleeping and he was screaming. And everything in me wanted to explain to him, this isn't what being human feels like. Like, you're going to get better. And some of my friends had even said, you get immunity in later life if you have chicken pox. I don't know if that's right or not, but I couldn't explain immunity to him. I couldn't explain anything. He couldn't understand English. His brain wasn't developed enough. But I could hold him. You know, I could pace up and down the landing, just rocking him to sleep. And I think sometimes we all go through things in life that we just don't understand. Maybe we can't understand. And we'll hurt like hell. Those are the times we can let our Father hold us and love us and comfort us, because it is possible to trust even that which we do not understand. That's what Danny was doing. And so if you're going through a red light experience, a painful unanswered prayer, those are not the times to push God's love away. Those are the times to lean into God's love, even though you don't understand what possible purpose he could have in not answering your prayer.
Okay, so I'm going to ask my favorite question. How do we do that practically?
The practical question. Very good. Well, first of all, pray with other people. In Matthew 18:19, Jesus says there's a particular power when we come into agreement with other people. So why wouldn't you do that?
Right.
Secondly, learn to pray incrementally. Don't try and pray to the top of the staircase all in one go all the time. What's the next step? What's the next little prayer that you can pray towards the big prayer? So if, say, you're praying for a friend to become a Christian, don't just pray that over and over and again, but maybe pray that next time you see them, there'll be an appropriate opportunity to talk to them about your faith. Or for me, praying for Sammy to be healed. Obviously, there are times I'm going to pray that really big prayer, but I might just pray that the next doctor's appointment will be really great and helpful and progressive. So learn to pray one step at a time, incrementally. Thirdly, learn to pray God's promises. I'm really challenged in that story, the Bartimaeus one, that Jesus says, what do you want me to do? And in my own life, there was a time where I really felt like God was saying to me, Pete, you're praying these vague prayers, like for our own kids, for example, our own sons. Bless them at school, help them not to grow up and become Satanists or whatever, you know. I felt like Jesus was going, yeah, but what do you actually want me to do for you? And I've worked out that when God asks you a question, it's not because he needs the answer. So I asked him the question, but I'm like, okay, well, what do you want to do in my son's lives? And I spent a bit of time with the Bible, looked at a number of promises in the Bible. And there were certain ones that jumped out at me. They resonated. I thought, yes, that's everything I long for my boys' lives. That kind of connects with the type of people that they are. And so I bagged them. I wrote them down. I memorized them. And I learned to begin to pray those specific promises. And one of them was, it says of Jesus, he grew in wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man. And I began to pray specifically, let him grow in wisdom at school today and you know, like learning math and whatever. But let them also grow in spiritual wisdom. Let them grow in spiritual authority, but also like authority, stature with their teachers and all that stuff. So I began to pray a lot more practically. The promises of God, give us like train tracks to know like how to pray in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
So pray with others, pray incrementally, pray the promise of God, and finally pray consistently about things. We're not really good at this, are we? But don't just pray once or twice. Keep stacking dominoes. That's what these dominoes are here for. Sometimes, you know, because Jesus told stories to say that we must always pray and not give up. And maybe you could paraphrase it. He was saying, keep like praying the same prayer you've prayed again, like another domino just goes up. And then one day you pray that prayer you've prayed a million times before. Yeah. The whole lot comes down. And it's not because you just suddenly got the right technique. It's because you didn't give up praying one prayer too soon. So should we try this?
Let's do it.
Here we go. So sometimes it's like that. You just keep stacking dominoes, you keep praying the same prayers, and eventually you get the breakthrough that you've been looking for. There's a lovely story about Queen Bertha of Kent, way back in the 6th century here in England. She was a Christian, but her husband wasn't. He was a pagan king, often the way that the wife gets saved first. And being a nice kind of a husband, he decided to build a chapel, a prayer room for his wife, so she could go off and do her church stuff. And she went to this prayer room every single day. And what she did in there was she prayed for her husband to come to know Jesus, for Ethelbert to get saved. It took 17 years of praying in that chapel.
Wow.
Until God dramatically answered her prayers, because in 597 AD, a bunch of monks from Rome came to England and they preached the gospel. And not only did Ethelbert finally get saved through their mission, but out of that part of England, a massive mission was launched throughout the country and thousands turned to Christ.
Wow.
And the reason that Canterbury Cathedral was built by one of those monks on Ethelbert's land is because that is where his wife had been praying all those years. The heart of Anglicanism around the world to this day goes back to a wife who prayed for her husband. She kept stacking dominoes. See, Bertha, I suppose, thought she was just praying for her husband. But in fact, she was praying for a nation and for generations to come. It took 17 years of praying, but we are still feeling the consequences 1,400 years later. So sometimes we're stacking dominoes for years, and sometimes it's just months or weeks or days. I remember when I started praying that way for our kids, about them growing in wisdom, stature, and favor with God, it was only 2 weeks of stacking dominoes, because something really amazing happened. One of our sons sat bolt upright in bed at night, called for us, we ran upstairs, and he greeted us with the words, "I need God, I want to pray that prayer thing."
Wow.
And I got to kneel down by his bed with my son as he gave his life to the Lord, which really, as a parent, is kind of everything that you long for, actually. But it gets more remarkable, really, because then the next day, his aunt, my sister-in-law, phoned up and she said, "What happened with him the night before? Because I had a dream about him last night." So I'm like super interested
right
at this point. And she goes, "Okay, in the dream, there's a stranger in your house. Think it was an angel. He invited you and Sammy into your study and said, this particular son has been noticed in heaven."
Wow.
That's the phrase. "And I've been sent to tell you how to raise him." So 2 weeks after beginning to pray that he would grow wisdom, stature, and favor with God and man, he gives his life to God, which is a pretty dramatic answer to that prayer. His aunt has a dream that night, knowing nothing about it, never had a dream for him like that before or since. In the dream, an angelic visitor paraphrases the very prayer that I'm praying and says, "Yes, your prayer has been heard. He's been noticed in heaven." So sometimes it is amazing how God answers, and it's quick and it's dramatic. And sometimes it's years of stacking dominoes. And maybe it's because we're praying for something bigger than we even realize.
Yeah. Wow, Pete, thank you. Thank you so much. We've really covered a lot of ground today. I feel like I'm a lot clearer about why we actually need to ask God for stuff as we
right
pray, and about what it means to pray in the name of Jesus. I love what you said about when your son had chicken pox and about trusting even when we don't understand. And of course, the traffic light thing. And when we don't get that green light, we need to pray the promises of God. And we definitely need to keep stacking those
dominoes. Keep stacking dominoes, yep.
So why don't we pray?
Let's pray.
Father, give us today our daily bread. God, I just pray as we pray with each other in our groups about our needs, God, that you would hear our prayers, God, that you would answer them. And Lord, we just pray for anybody that's watching right now, God, who's struggling with unanswered prayer. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to persevere, Lord. And God, that you would help us to just keep stacking our dominoes, God. Keep asking. We trust you, God. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, guys, I hope you find that input helpful this morning. The guys are going to lead us in our closing song, and as they make their way to the platform, I wonder if we could just simply take a few moments together to pray that part of the Lord's Prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm just going to give you a few moments just to very quietly articulate what those needs are. Not to shout it out, but not to just say it in your head, but in terms of what's coming up in this season in life for you, perhaps later on today or tomorrow, but to be specific. As Pete says, not always praying to the top of the stairs, but what's the next step? So just very quietly make that request known. And then together we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven,